Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Here it is, one more time, that God has found fit to allow us to come together for the Word of God. As always, it is a pleasure for me, your host, Diane Adams, to come before you with a word from God, praying and hoping that it will be something that you can use in your life, in your walk. I pray that it's something that you don't just hear, but become a doer. God is laying out his word for all of us that we can use it and become the people that he has created us to be. As always, I have to say thank God for allowing this to happen. And then I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and share in the Word of God here on Wednesday night. It's a pleasure, and I don't take it lightly, and it's an honor. And I thank God, and I thank each and every one of you. I pray that your week went well, at least 2 weeks, because we weren't able to get together on last Wednesday, and I miss being with you guys. But I thank God we're together tonight. I just want you to know that God is bringing his people together. We are living in the last days, and we have adversities, trials, and tribulation on us on every side. But God, through his ultimate wisdom, has given us a word, a rhema word, which he inspired men to write, which compiles of the Bible, which contains 66 books. Now, the thing for us to do is to read it, accept it, and become committed to it, because that's where our peace, our joy, our long-suffering, and all that is going to lie within that, and not just being hearers. And we have to meditate. The Bible says we must meditate on a word day and night. And that's our responsibility. God has done everything that was necessary for us to have success, and we have to do our part to receive it. Our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Matthew. It's going to be in the 6th chapter. It's going to start in the 25th verse, and it's going to go all the way to the 34th verse. I wasn't... Really, I forgot today to send the messages out for the Bible study tonight, so plenty callers may not call in. But I want you guys to remember, if it's not mentioned that it won't be, it will happen every Wednesday night at 8:30. Same number, or if you're on the Internet, the same time. But I'm just grateful for the people who have called in the studio, and I could see the numbers calling in, and prayerfully, hopefully, the people on the Internet has tuned in as well. But our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Matthew. It's going to be, as I say, the 6th chapter is going to go from the 25th verse to the 34th verse. And the title of the lesson tonight is, If We Take Care of God's Business, He Will Take Care of Our Business. As he promised. And we could hold on to that. If we do and take care of things that God has set before us and has put in our hands and do it wholeheartedly, God is gonna grant favor in that. And when you do the things that he has asked for you to do, he will take care of the things you need for him to do for you. So right now I'm going to go ahead and open with prayer. Unless somebody would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And if not, I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then I'm going to play a song. And once the song is over, we're going to go ahead into the lesson. So right now, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the lover of our souls, dear Heavenly Father, I just want to take time and say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for being in the midst. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to come together one more night to explore the Word of God. Thank you, dear God, for this forum where we can do this. Lord, I am so grateful and so honored to be able to do this. And I thank you for everyone you allow to call in. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for each person that's dialed in and those who are listening on the internet. Dear God, bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. Heavenly Father, I pray that you don't let this word return void and that you be in the midst and you touch and prick the hearts and the minds of everyone that hear it. And I pray that it would be something that they could have and use throughout their lives. Heavenly Father, we know that Satan is on a rampage and he's seeking and roaming and seeing who he could devour. But Lord, if we hold on to your word, you promise that you will see us through, that we may stumble, but we won't fall. We may get down, but you will lift us up. And Lord, I believe that, and I truly believe that, dear God, and I pray that everyone hold on to your unchanging hand, because then and only then will we have success in this world, because your word told us that we have to be in this world but not of this world. Lord, when we look around at everything that's happening and everything that's going on, it should prick our heart just as well as Jesus was sorrowful for the world and the things of the world. We have to be that way as well. Anything is happening and anything is going on and people are doing what seems right in their eyes, dear God, but you and your word has never changed. Teach us, dear God. Take anything in us that's not of you, that we could be stronger in you, dear God. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Amen. And thank God. Now, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to play a song. And after that, we're going to go into the lesson. And I have to play this record because it's just the way I'm feeling right now, because God is truly an awesome God. He's always have been and always. God is an awesome God.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
I'm going to take that off. That was the wrong record. This is the one I wanted
somebody
to play.
Somebody lift your hand.
Listen to the message
as we celebrate
the
greatness of our God.
And after that, we're going to have the lesson. Thank you.
He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this: our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. If you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By
his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome God. You know, that song talked about him being a protector, a provider. You know, God has never changed. We have to really believe him at his word. So tonight, the lesson that I took was a lesson from the Sermon on the Mount. And I see that a lot more callers has called in. So I would like to let you know that we're coming out of the book of Matthew's, the 6th chapter, the 25th through the 31st verse. And this is a verse. These verses are from the teachings of Jesus when Jesus was on the Mount. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's so amazing that when you look in the book of Matthew's, you know, I always like to do a background. When we look in the book of Matthew's, we have to know that Matthew starts with Jesus and is coming out. You know, in the third chapter of Matthew's, up until the third chapter of Matthew's and right before the third chapter of Matthew's, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And he gathered his disciples in the fourth chapter. So when the fifth chapter of Matthew's began, he started his teaching. And this, his teaching for the fifth and sixth chapter of Matthew's was the Sermon on the Mount. Now, when you look at these scriptures and stuff, you have to see that Jesus was full of everything that God had given him. And Jesus was down here, and he knew he walked the earth to teach the people the things of God and let them get a gift of God, because Jesus was God incarnated. Jesus was God in the human form, walking the earth, letting us know what he can do and will do for you. You see, in the fifth chapter of Matthew's, in the Sermon on the Mount, he started teaching. You know, that's one of the most memorized and familiarized scriptures in the Bible, the Sermons on the Mount, is a collection of sayings and teaching of Jesus, which emphasizes his moral teaching. That's what he was given. He was giving us moral teachings. And it was found in the book of God, in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter. You see, but you got to remember, right before that, he gathered his disciples. And right before that, he was baptized by John the Baptist. Now, we all know that Jesus was 30 years old, and he was baptized, and he started his ministry, and it only lasted 3 years, because at the age of 33 years, he died. So what's very important, what he said in those 3 years, what he did in those 3 years, is a shadow for us to take hold of, because, you see, our job is to become Christ-like. And how can we become Christ-like if we don't know how Christ was and what Christ said and what he did? You see, some of the best teaching of Jesus, such as the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, it's all in the Sermon on the Mount. And it is one of the central elements for Christian discipline. So we have to take hold of that and look at it for what it's really worth. And our lesson tonight is coming from Matthew's, the 6th chapter, and the 25th through the 31st verse. And this was a part of the teaching on the mount. It's amazing. They say when Jesus taught on the mount, he was sitting down, and usually sitting down while you teaching is a showing authority. They say the rabbis in those days all sat down when they talked. And they say when Jesus was sitting on the mount, he was sitting down as he taught the people. So this is some of the teachings that Jesus did on the sermon, in his Sermon on the Mount, and that's where we coming from. So I'm asking that you be prayerful. I'm asking that you open your minds and your hearts. I'm sure this is nothing that you have never heard, but I pray that the Holy Ghost illuminate and give you new meaning of what's being said, that you could hold on to it. So we're going to start our lesson tonight, and I'm in the 6th chapter, and I'm going to the 21st verse. It says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious or worried, and this is coming from the English version, so if you look a little different from your King James, but it says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious or worried about this life, that you will, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus was telling them this. Now remember, this is the beginning of his ministry, the beginning of his teaching, and this is one of the lessons he was teaching. You see, and that's what he said. But here we see the Lord warns us against being anxious about the various cares of this life. For the child of God, even necessities like food and clothing are nothing to worry about. Use an example of God's creation. God teaches us that our Heavenly Father knows our needs and care about us. If God takes care of the simple things like grass, flowers, and birds, won't he who also care for people who he created in his image? How much more do you really think that God cares for you? Come on now. And he gave us this. This Jesus saying, look at the birds and the bees and the trees. He said, they making it. And yet God created you in his image. What more you think he will do for you? You see, when you worry, it brings on anxiety. The Bible has a lot to say about anxiety, but the word itself may not be found all that often. But because of the ill effects of worry, Jesus tell us not to worry about those things that God. Now, this is the important part. Why shouldn't you worry? Because God has already promised to supply all of your needs. But the question I have to ask tonight is, do you believe it? Do you believe it wholeheartedly? Do you believe that God will show up and give you what you need? And what I could ask you to do right now is think about some time in your life when your back was really up against the wall. And it probably amazed you that it might have was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, some people 10 years ago. It could be the worst thing at that time that you thought could ever happen to you. And tonight, it don't seem that serious. And I just want to let you know that that, too, did pass. We just have to trust him. What he did for you then, he could do it again. And what he does for others, he can truly do it for you. You see, if we want to really hold on to that, there's other scriptures. See, I don't want to tell you what Diane has to say, but I'm going to tell you what the Word of God has to say about this. If we look at Psalms 23 and 1, that says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Then, do you believe it? You know, we say the 23rd Psalms all the time. We done memorize it. We emphasize it, but do we believe it? Do we believe it with our whole heart? And I'll give you another scripture if you go with me, and we look at the Lord's Prayer. And it says, give us this day our daily bread. God said, I'm going to supply you daily. If you go back in time when the children of Israel was in the wilderness and they all get in fuss with Moses about God coming on time, and they had then ran out of all of the provisions they had, and they told Moses it would have been better if God would have left us in Egypt because we still would have been able to eat, grumbling and complaining. And God had delivered them, and he had parted the Red Sea, and it still wasn't enough. But God told them, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, I will supply your daily need. And just like he did then, when they got hungry, he dropped bread from heaven. And when he brought that bread from heaven, he told them, eat what you need for today, because I will supply your needs daily. Don't try to hold on to nothing because it's not necessary. I'm trying to show you that I will supply you every day. And, of course, some people decided to do what they wanted, and they took some of the mammon and they hide it in their kitchen and hide it under their table because they didn't trust him enough that he'll show up with some new bread on tomorrow. But the bread that they tried to save, it got rotten and worms and maggots came out of it. And then the next morning, he supplied more. And then the next morning, he supplied more. And then when the bread wasn't enough for them, they wanted meat, and he started letting quails drop from the sky. You see what God did for them children, the Israelites in the wilderness? Can't you hold on and believe that he'll do it for you too? You see, but God said, like I said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'll give us this day our daily bread. But you know what? To me, and I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about me and everybody else, the way the world is and the way we do. You know, this just don't seem to be enough sometimes for us. So we often find ourselves worrying and being anxious concerning the issues of this life. You see, here are some ill effects of worrying and being anxious. You know, when you worry too much, it could damage your health. One of the major causes of heart attack is stress, which is usually caused by worry. It causes the causes of the worrying you're doing, the causes of the object of the worry you're doing, whatever you're worrying about, whatever you're focusing your sight on, I want to let you know it consumes all your thoughts. And you see, then when you are really worrying, it brings on fear. And I came to tell you tonight that God is not a God of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. You see, when that fear enters your mind and you worrying about the wrong things, that's when Satan gets the opportunity to slip on in. And he's going to make you worry more. You see, and then what happened? It disrupts your productivity. You can't, sometimes you worry about things so much, you get depressed and you get, you know, feel like all of your energy is gone. And then if you're not careful, it negatively affects the way you treat others. You know, you worry and you don't want to hear nothing, and somebody tell you something, you blow off your handle because you got a problem that you worrying about that you could have gave it to God and you could have went on in peace. And this is the main thing that it do. You see, when we sit down and worry, it's a sign that we don't trust God, number one. And it reduces our ability to trust God. Now, I ain't telling you that they won't have concerns in your life, and sometimes it may be a little time to worry, but it shouldn't be the focus of our dealing with situations. You see, there's a time and a place to be concerned about things that are going on in your life. So I'm not telling you ain't going to, you know, have concerns. But you see, concerns and worry is two different things. You see, there's a difference between worry and genuine concern. You see, when you worry, it immobilizes you. But concern should move you to action. What am I saying? Okay, you look at this situation, it moves you to action. What's the first thing you should do? Because God's saying all of you're doing in all things with prayer and supplication, bring it to God. It should move you in action. A situation is to happen. If it happened, it happened. You can't erase it. You can't push it back. You can't make it not be. So it is a situation. But you see, worry immobilizes you, but concern should move you to action. You go to God in prayer. You bring it to God and you leave it there. And if it's something you need to do, because you see some of the worries could be at your own hand for something you should have did and you didn't do. So you try to fix it. You go into action and do all that you could do, because the Bible said once you done did all you could do, all you can do is stand. I want to let you know worrying and faith does not go together. Because if you have true faith, you shouldn't worry. And if you worry, I would ask you, where's your faith? No matter what it is, God got it. Remember that. And now we're going to the 26th verse. And the 26th verse said, look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are you not more valuable than they? Come on, let's think about that. Jesus illustrates his point by referring to objects in nature that were immediately at hand and things that you can relate to, such as birds and flowers. He wants you to look at them. You know, they got lilies in a field that nobody's watering. There's nobody's giving them plant food, and yet they sprout up at their appointed time, and they flourish like all outdoors. The birds fly, and they go, and they feed, and they eat. They have babies. They feed their babies, and life for them keep going on, but they're not building barns, and they're not worried where the next meal come from, because they always know when they need it, it is always there. Everything that God created, he made all provisions for their survival. All things, birds, bees, flowers, trees, and even you. Here he is showing us that if he provide for them, which don't have a soul, come on now, thank you, Holy Ghost, they don't have a soul, and he provide for them. And as I prayed, I say Jesus is the love of our soul, and it's Jesus' desire in God the Father that every soul be saved. So if he provides for the birds and the bees, the flowers, the trees, the dogs, the cats, the bulls who don't have a soul, what more do you think he would do for you? We may not be able to prevent anxiety or anxious thoughts from entering our mind, because that's kind of like natural, and we're in the flesh, and that's what humans do. But we can practice the right response. You see, if you go to the book of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it instructs us to not be anxious about anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do you believe it? You know, we hear all this word on TV. We hear the word in song. We call in on Wednesday night. We have Bible study at our church. We go to Sunday school. And God said it's so simple. He said it's easy. It's looking at the palm of your hand. But it's one of the hardest things in the world for us to take hold of it and just go with it. But this is what the word of God said. And in 27 it says, for which of you being anxious can add a single hour to your span of life? You know, doing all of that, you can't take life, you can't give life, you can't give yourself more life. You know, you can't do none of that. Why? Because God is in total control. And you can't change anything by being anxious or worrying. Get with the program and understand it. And if we go to 28, they're saying, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, and anybody know the word of God, know that Solomon was the richest and the wisest man to have ever lived, and Solomon had everything, and he the things he had was top notch, and it was glory, it was beautiful, and it was all of that. They say, but yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not compared to one of these. Come on now. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, meaning to die and wither away, will he not much more clothe you? And the scriptures say, O you of little faith. Then the scripture 31 said, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? It says, for the Gentiles. Now, the reason they use Gentiles in 32 scripture, they weren't really saved, because you see, the Jews was the promised people, and the Gentiles was anything other than a Jew, so we were Gentiles. But behold, as life went on, God opened the doors for the Gentiles to be saved, because the Jews wasn't taking him so serious. And they say it at this time when Jesus taught that, the door wasn't open to the Gentiles, so they would have been the unsaved people. He said in verse 32, he said, the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father know what you need. He knows. He said, in other words, you acting like the people ain't saved. You acting like people, some of the things that we do, we act like we don't have a God. Some of the things we do, we act like we don't know God, and some of the things we do, we don't act like we trust God, and some of the things we do, we don't have any faith in God. And that's what Jesus is saying. When you act like that, you're acting like the Gentiles or the unsaved. And then if you look at the verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Putting God first is a cure for anxiety. Come on now. Try it. Try it if you haven't. You done tried everything else. You done stayed up at late in the midnight hour. You done called and talked to all of the wrong people that can't make no difference about it. Or you was very secretive about it and you didn't tell anybody. You know, and it may have kept you up at night, and it made you toss and turn. You done tried whatever you tried, but I'm asking you now to try Jesus, because you see, putting God first is a cure for anxiety. Jesus said to seek ye first the kingdom of God. In his Sermon on the Mount, he was telling them, put God first. The verse meaning is as direct as it sounds. Don't, you don't have to, you get no dictionary. You don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to go ask your pastor what it means. It's simple. Put God first. It's as direct as it sounds. We are to seek the things of God as a priority over the things of the world. Primarily, it means we are to seek the salvation that is inheritance for us in the kingdom of God because it is of greater value than the things of the world. We got the salvation. We have to seek the things that are righteous and that are holy and that are good and that leads us to obedience and leads us to sacrificing of ourselves and things that are keep our temple clean. We have to go to these things, which is all a part of our salvation right here on earth, then we go for the riches of the world. Does this mean that we should neglect the responsibility of daily duties that help sustain our lives? I'm not telling you that. Certainly not. But for the Christians, we should be different in attitude towards them. Our attitude towards them should be different. Because first of all, we should know by now that everything is not for everybody. We should know that everything in this world, God either orchestrate or allow it. And God know what he wants for you. You see, if we are taking care of God's business as a priority in our life, seeking his salvation, living obedience, sharing the word of God of the kingdoms to others, then he will take care of your business as he promised. And if that's truly the arrangement, and if you believe that as his arrangement, as Jesus sat and taught on the mound after he was baptized and he began his teachings, he's letting the people know God's promise and what God will do and what God has been doing for them. But I'm going to ask you again, how, if this is truly the arrangement and you believe it, where is the warrant? But how do we know if we truly seeking God's kingdom first? There are questions we can ask ourselves. Number one, where do you primarily spend your energies? Number two, is all your time and money spent on goods and activities that will certainly perish? Or are you spending your time, talents, and service on the things of God? You know, your money's going to fade. Your looks going to fade if that's you. You know, you're a pretty girl or boy. You know. And talking about buying a house, I don't know about you, but I bought a house. I fixed the house in a couple of years and sometimes a couple of months. I have to fix again. So that's telling you that deteriorate. So what you have to do is remember that only what you do for Christ is going to last. Believers who have learned to truly put God first may then rest in this holy dynamic. Because if God said it, he is faithful, willing, and able. And all these things will be given unto you as well. God has promised to provide for his own. Now, come on now. You are earthly mama or daddy on this phone tonight. Don't you provide what your children need, especially when they was little? Didn't you take care of them? Don't you try to provide for others or your siblings or your parents? You're doing it with your whole heart. And if you provided for anybody in your life with seriousness and you thought it was more important because they belong to you in some aspect, what more do you think our Heavenly Father, who once we accept Christ became his, became children of God, what more do you think he will do for you? You see, Philippians 4:19 said, and my God will supply every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But you got to be careful. You read that and then you get sometimes puffed up, but you got to remember, his idea of what you need is often different from yours. And you got to always keep in mind his timing will only occasionally meet your expectation. Because our time is not his time. You know, sometimes he comes right then. Before you can get it out the mouth, it's delivered. That's why I say his timing will only occasionally meet your expectations. For example, we may see our needs of riches or advancement, but perhaps God knows what we truly need. Come on now. You see, we're looking for one thing and God is looking for another one. And then you see, God knows what we truly need. It could be time in a time of not enough. It could be in a time of a loss, or it could be solitude. God knows what you need. And sometimes God don't want you with that. So he wants you in a time of just not enough right now. Or he sometimes allows you to have a loss. You remember, everything that God allows to happen to us, our trials, tribulation, and adversity, is for him to bring us to another level, to teach us and show us sometime who he really is, and sometime just to let us know that he is God. When this happened, and if this happened, you have to remember that you are still in good company. And no matter what state you're in, God is working it out for your good. Have patience. Trust him. Wait on him. And he will bring you through. You see, if we look in the scriptures, we could see, we all know that God loved Job and also the prophet Elijah. But he allowed Satan to absolutely pound down on Job. But he did it with a watchful eye. Come on now. He said, all right, Satan, but he did it with a watchful eye. And he even let the woman, Jezebel, break the spirit of his own prophet Elijah. You see, God followed these trials, and with the trials, he had restoration. And he also had all of the substance needed in his hand. You know the story of Job. Job got more than he had, and Elijah was blessed more than beyond compare. So sometimes we have to go through to get to. And if God is arranging it that way, we got to take it. We got to take it and just keep on moving, trusting that he's going to deliver you in his own time. You see, for if God be with before you, who can be against you? And remember, he's always working it out for your good, even though it don't feel like it, taste like it, or look like it. And when you can't hear his voice, trust his plan, because he's God, and yes, he understands everything that's happening in your life. We have to watch out for the teaching which is gaining around the world these days, and it's that so-called prosperity gospel, and it's growing fast, and it's growing, and it's getting a lot of followers. God wants you to be rich. It's a philosophy, but this philosophy is not the counsel of the Bible, and it's certainly not the counsel of Matthew 6:33, which is the description for how God works. You know, God say that he have everything, and he wants us to have everything, but everything ain't for everybody. So if you tell me that I should be rich, and I got to be rich if I do A, B, and C, and I'm not rich, who's failing your philosophy of a God? Everybody can't be rich, so how can that go for everybody in the world we live in with the haves and the have not? And the Bible told us that the poor is going to be with us always. And God wants you to have everything, but he wants you to be conscious on how you get it. You see, there's nothing wrong with having money. It's the love of money. And there's nothing wrong with getting money, but sometimes the way we get it is wrong. So keep it straight. Keep it cool, you know. Keep it together. Keep understand it. And remember, everything ain't for everybody. You see, Jesus taught that our focus should be away from this world, its status and its lying allurements, and places upon things, and place our mind upon the things of God's kingdom. Come on now, this world will fool you in a minute. Satan is trying to trap you and take you under with the things of the world, the shiny bling blings. and then you look up and you die and you can't take it with you anyway. And don't say I'm saying God don't want you to have. He said a gold, a silver, and a cattle is mine. And what I'm going to do for you is going to be beyond all measures. But wait on it. And remember, everything ain't for everybody. And then if we go to the 31st verse, which is the last verse, they say, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its anxieties in and of itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What's that saying? You keep worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow's not even promised. Believe me, it's not promised. And when God said tomorrow, it's not just meaning tomorrow. It means the future. It means the things to come. And it means down the road. It's not just tomorrow. But he's saying as simple as tomorrow. You see, as we ponder these words of Jesus, we must recognize that worry and planning ahead are two different things. It's all right to plan ahead. You're supposed to plan for your retirement. You're supposed to do all of these things. But don't be so crazy like the man in the Bible when he was putting away and he filled up a barn and it wasn't enough. Instead of him giving some away, he built another barn and he built another barn and the bugs came and ate it all. You got to have balance and you got to deal with wisdom with what you're doing. Jesus said that it is unreasonable not to do some essential planning. Still, most of us have had battles with worry at some point in our lives. We go to bed with the nagging concerns about what will happen tomorrow. Clearly, Jesus is referring to worrying about what will happen in the future and not just literally tomorrow, as I said earlier. It may be a conflict that troubles us. It may be mess at the office that has confronted us. It may be facing someone that has hurt us. Or it may be that we have hurt someone else. It may be that financial doubt about paying bills and having to face the note holder. But Jesus wants us to let go of our anxiety. We must live in the present moment. There are too many opportunities we could miss today about worrying about what will happen tomorrow. The Lord could come between now and worrying about what might happen tomorrow. Y'all got that? The Lord could come between now and tomorrow, and all of your words would have been for nothing. I got a call today. I got a call Sunday, and I got a call last week. Three of my class reunion members died. One died today, one died Sunday, and one died last week. Now, I don't know what was on their mind, and I'm sure they may have been having a little struggle with their health, but before they got sick, I don't know what their worm was, and if the worm was all based around the year 2015, they won't see it. You know, we all have a saying, you know, we know, we done heard that tomorrow is not promised, and we are used to always say, girl, gone here today, gone tomorrow. Y'all done heard that said before, here today and gone tomorrow. But we now have to say, here today and gone today. Y'all have to keep in mind all of us are born to die. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know why, because of sin entered with Adam and Eve. The Lord may be at work in the situation during the day and the way we could not foresee our problems. The Lord is working, could be working in a situation and a problem that you have today and you don't know it. So you go all through the day, you don't do what you need to do, you don't bring it to God, and then you go to sleep all night and worry about it. You can't go to sleep at night worrying about it. But I'm going to close with this. Let's make sure we fill up today with God's kingdom priorities, and then we can deal with tomorrow's mess when and if it ever comes. I have a motto that a lot of people who know me know I use this a lot, and my motto is, I do not panic until it's time. I don't care what news they bring me. I don't know how they say it to me. No matter what go on, they say it. I say, okay, I think about it. I call on Jesus. And then I go from there, because you see, then it may be a concern, but it puts me into action. But worry mobilizes me. So I pray that this lesson tonight can be something and help someone along the way, because we have to always remember only what we do for Christ's will as. Everything else is setting on sinking grass. And I pray that you can take this. It's nothing new. It's something that all of us know, but it's the hardest thing in the world for us to achieve it. You know, I often tell you guys that I believe in everything between, I believe everything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I just haven't been able to achieve it. And I haven't been able to achieve 100% of not being concerned about things, or being too concerned about some things too long. Whatever. And that's just a human thing. Because long as we have flesh on our body, flesh is going to tend to see to do things that concerns the flesh. And you're not going to get rid of that until Jesus comes back. And we take off the corruptible and put on incorruptible, and it will be no flesh. So there will be no craving for the things of the flesh. Come on now. But until then, we have to let the word be our guide. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, allow the word of God to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. We have to keep saying it. We have to keep doing it. And we have to practice it. Because, you know, then we're only hearers of the word, and we never will become doers of the word. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I hope that it did help someone along the way. And I thank each and every one of you who have called. Some of the numbers I know, and some of the numbers I don't know, and I am so grateful that you are calling. You have called in. And at this time, it's now 9:21. You know, I try to use a goal of 9:30 because I don't like to keep people too long, because one of the things that happens in this world, and I'm not talking about y'all, but everybody, you know, anytime you're doing something with church or with the things of God, you know, if they take kind of long, people get a little bit antsy. You know, they say it just don't take all that long, but, you know, God sometimes bring to my memory when we used to be out in the world and we would go to the clubs or go to a concert, and the concert was ready in, and we stand up and cheer and say, we want more. I'm talking about me. I don't know what you guys did, but I can remember that. You know, it was over and it had been long and you were sweating, and the people who was performing got off the stage and the people would chant, we want more, we want more. And then when we go to the church outfit, the service take over an hour. They say that's why they go to Catholic church, because they do a mass. Then they were speaking in Latin, so you know you didn't get nothing, but they was willing to go there, listen to something in Latin, and get out in 45 minutes and be satisfied. I'm not talking, you know, I'm just saying what it was. And even the day people who go to the church, you know, they pick the church that they want to go to because they don't want it to be long. You know, they don't want it to be long. That's the world we live in, and that's what it is. But when we learn better, we should do better. When we know more, we should do more. And that's the lesson for the night. And at this time, I'm going to ask for comments or concerns. If you could just press the one button on your phone, and you could, I'll open the mic and you could have something to say. And I just want to let you guys know that I really and truly miss being here on last Wednesday. And it took me a little getting together. You know, that's amazing, you know, when you skip doing something just 1 week, how it's hard to get back in the swing. But God has saw fit, and I'm on tonight, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful. So, again, if anybody would like to comment on a lesson, you know, or give us an example of your experience in this area, you may press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. And if no one pressed the button or no one would like to make a comment or don't have a question or a concern, we're going to go ahead and do the benediction closing prayer. And after I do that, you know, I always play music. And those who enjoy the music, you could continue to listen to the music until you get tired. And once I start playing the music, I'll continue to play it, and even if someone decide, or God put it on someone's heart to say something at that time, and I can see that the one button is pressed, I will stop the music and listen what you say. I just want you guys to know that I'm trying to get another host started with another program, not my program, but on my blog, on the blog of Words of Wisdom. And I always had a desire to do something with the youth. And God placed it on my heart about this young man that really loves God. I mean, he loves God, and he seeks God with his whole heart. And I'm going to try to have a meeting with him and his mother. But if that comes to pass, I will give y'all the information, and I'm going to ask y'all if it do come to pass. He's a young man. You know, we talk about all the boys on the street and all the killing and all of this, and yet, you know, we have opportunities to encourage and give some, you know, some of them a pat on the back because they're doing the right thing, and we won't even do that, but we'll still talk about the problem. You know, and you got to say, what part are you doing? They tell you it takes a village to raise a child. But y'all going to hear some more about that soon as I get it all straight, if his mother let him take the responsibility and do it. But that's what I'm fixing to try to do in the future, and I'll let y'all know about that. But if anyone would like to do the benediction prayer, it's 9:25. You could press the 1 on your button, and you could go ahead and lead us out in prayer. And as I say, I will put the music on. Again, my name is Diane Adams. I'm your host for Inspiration Wednesday, broadcasted every Wednesday night at 8:30. You can also, we also have a prayer line, and the number is 504-289-9501. You can also listen to us on the Internet at blogtalkradio.com/words of wisdom. If you wanted to see it on the Internet, you know, I said it too fast. You could press the 1 button, and I'll give it to you again. But right now, at this time, since no one want to lead out with prayer, I'll go ahead and do a closing prayer. And and then I'll start playing the music. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Lord, I am so grateful, and I'm so thankful to see your teaching that you did on the mount in your word, dear God, for your people. I'm glad that your word never changed. And as you taught them about what God would do for them, I pray that we realize that God will do it for us as well. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus and leaving us with your spirit that could lead and guide us into all revelation, all imagination, and all of the things of God that we need in our lives. Heavenly Father, teach us how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost that we will be made whole. Take anything out of our lives that's not of you, God. Circumcise our heart and deliver our mind from thoughts that's not about you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in on one more Wednesday night. Lord, and I thank you for every Wednesday that you allow us to come together. I pray that your people has received something that they could be edified. I pray that Satan is horrified. Lord, and I pray that you are glorified from this lesson, that you get the glory. It's my prayer. Lord, let your word not return void. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. And that's our lesson for tonight. It is now 9:28, and I'm going to go ahead and put some music on. And for those who enjoy the music, because there's a message in the music, you could continue to listen. And if you decide that you want to talk, press the 1 button. I'll cut the music off, and I'll put you on. So we're going to go with the music, and this record is called The Blessings of Abraham. You know, they say Father Abraham because he's our father, and all of our blessings are through Abraham, and it's really true. So I'm going to play that because it's just to be reminded. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers! Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. oh my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ. You are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Go, y'all.
Out there.
God made you the head,
not the tail.
that was a blessing of Abraham. I was just saying, if anyone else would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. But just keep in mind, if you take care of God's business, God will truly take care of yours. And if there's anyone would like to make a comment, have a question or concern, they may press the one button on the telephone right now. Since there's still a lot of callers on the phone, I'll just go ahead on and play another song, and y'all can listen to the music as long as you like. But remember, I am Diane Adams, your host for Inspirational Wednesday, and I will play another song for you. I have a caller that has pressed the one button, and let's hear what they have to say. Caller, your number is 111-111. Your mic is open. You may speak. Well, they hung up. So that was that. If you guys are still on the thing and you want to listen to some more music, I'll play music. But as I was saying, remember, if you take care of God's business, God will truly take care of yours. So I'm asking that all of you be blessed. I'll play another record. And after this record, if anyone don't have anything to say, we're going to go ahead and shut the program down for the night. God loves you, and so do I.
Some days it seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
I know you pray for a change, to see a sunny day. Nothing good has come your way for so long. You need someone to understand the place your heart is in. You just want to dream again and believe.
Yeah.
To live for.
Remember what you prayed for.
Yes.
Don't give up. So no matter what you're going through right now,
all of your dreams.
because you're close to me now. So don't give up.
Hold On by Kirk Franklin. Again, all I can say is that I'm grateful and I'm thankful for each and every one of you, that God loves you and so do I. And I am your host, Diane Adams, the host of Inspirational Wednesday, every Wednesday night at 8:30. I pray that you come back on next week, and until we meet again, that God be with you. Amen, and thank God in Jesus' name. Good night, everybody. And be blessed.